So this is great, getting to speak to you all in a darkened room. Suits what it's
politics.
Politics. As Alan mentioned, I have been a little quiet for some time. It's not that I haven't been saying things, it's that people haven't necessarily been listening to me. And perhaps that's because people heard me say quite often that I couldn't comment on certain matters. But despite the fact that we don't have a great crowd, actually tonight I am going to comment on a few things. It's because of the people that are in the room. You want to know what the last year has been like? The last year has been horrible. It's been just beyond belief. And so whenever we talk about Twitter and Twitterati and all of these things, what happened almost a year ago for some people was, you know, a week of interest, a flash of the pan, a bit of fun and merriment. For some other people, actually, it was the shattering of their dreams, you know, that they had really put their heart and soul into things. And for me and for my family, it was a nightmare. And I put that out to you to understand the power that media and perhaps Twitter has in particular, because Twitter was the very start of it. It was the initial tweets that went out, it was the leaks, all of these things. It was great fun, it was a great game, wonderful to be part of unless you were the centre of it. And that brings me nicely to a matter that I think that some of you should certainly be aware of, and if you're not, you ought to become aware of it, and that is the law on defamation. And, you know, it was an interesting thing. I had to check up what defamation actually was, but the best I can come up with is any communication that harms a person's reputation, decreases the respect, regard, or confidence in which a person is held, or induces disparaging, hostile, or disagreeable opinions or feelings about that person. And I have to say to you that I think I got all of that. And an interesting experience. So you can stand up here in front of you and say, yeah, I think there's no doubt that I was certainly defamed. And the big question comes back is, yeah, but was there justification? And that's the sort of thing that you'll actually have to work out in courts or whatever way you want to go through it. But it does have an impact on people that are tweeting, because one of the things that you do need to be careful about is it's pretty hard to get your defence right in 140 characters. And you just need to be aware that while you're trying to be up with the news as it's moving through, there are certain issues in that. So I actually wondered about why we haven't seen as much progress on the Defamation Act that was passed in England and Wales in Northern Ireland as we might expect. I mean, you will be aware that up until that particular act was passed, that London certainly reported in The Guardian as being the libel capital of the world, something that was considered a national disgrace. In fact, even I think President Obama had to put something in saying you're not allowed to go and sue in London. So they got rid of that. But Northern Ireland has yet to adopt that. And I do hope some of those things are taken up by the Law Commission. I sort of look at some of the negatives that are around social media, and you ought to be aware of them now. The stories are coming out about trolls, about people being malicious, about the way that things are being used in a bad way. And for those of you and me that believe that social media is a good thing, you do have to be aware that there is a danger of a public backlash, that people are not content with the way that stories are handled. And so I think it's something to be aware of. I wanted to mention a number of positive things, though, that I saw in social media, so that there's a more balanced position on this. Certainly, I thought that the breaking of the story of Pastor McConnell was of significance in the way that came forward. And I see that Amanda's here, and I saw her story as well when we were looking at the up and on of Newton Abbey. These were areas where genuinely we did have some impact that came from social media. So you don't want to lose all of the negatives. You don't want to lose the whole positive aspect of social media by looking at the negatives. So I come to a situation that perhaps you want to consider about how you might use social media? Because there were a couple of other wins, and it's not just because Alan's here, but he mentioned it in jest at the start. There were a number of contributions that he made which I thought were social media wins from my personal perspective, and I'm sorry, I'm sure he didn't intend that, but it was interesting about where it is. And I draw your attention, you need to go back and look at this, because people don't tend to go back and look. Alan was one of the few people that recorded the launch of NI21's council candidates election. And there was a good audio boo in it, and it actually talks an awful lot about unionism and all of these issues. And it's quite illuminating, and it's great for me to have it on the record. And it is one of the areas that I think that's a win for social media, because had he not been there, that would not have been recorded. And I'll also say to him, and he talked about this, and this is a challenge, that he rather whimsically mentioned that he greatcast our party meeting in November, asked some hard questions, but actually came out with what I thought was a fairly balanced and fair report upon the proceedings, which was in contrast to other reports that might have come from small regional newspapers. And so I thought it was quite nice to have a counterbalance, and maybe that's part of the reason that it's social, that's part of the role that social media plays. But you've got to get in and be accurate and precise about what is being said. So, a couple of challenges to the traditional media. I'm going to be a little bit controversial here, so just in my way. Traditional media, like traditional politics, is tired, formulaic, and hooked on the drug of sensationalism. It actually can't exist any other way. And the problem, we were talking about it before I came up to this to the podium here, that if we're to tackle the challenges that are facing our society, we're going to have to change the way that we report things. You can't just keep being sensational or trying to come up with some sort of dispatches report or whistleblowers or this, that, and the other things. It destroys public confidence. And what it leads to is politics that is staid and shallow and risk-averse, and nobody will do anything because they're just frightened about the knock on the door. I have to tell you, I've got over that particular phase now, but I know that most people are worried about who's going to approach them with the microphone next. So, if people are fed up with politics and the disillusions, you might say, well, what are they going to do about it? Well, the first thing is, we must stop conflating light entertainment with current affairs. I don't know if you know this, but the Nolan Show is actually light entertainment. That's what it's down as. And so, you go, this is a problem for us. This is, everybody's in a fight, and we're trying to sensationalise things, whatever, and so we cannot get anything done. And I'll also put a point out, because I'm going to come when we finish with this, about where I think social media have a real role to play. But I will make a point that what I see on television and on media is a lot of old lags, or if you want to be polite about it, you would call them political commentators. And what their job is to do is to express opinions. Now, the opinions don't have to be balanced. I'm not even sure, though, well, put a caveat in here, but I'm not even sure how accurate they have to be, because their whole thing is to do something that the broadcasters can't do, which is express an opinion. But the problem is, because they're on a particular platform, they are endowed with some sort of status that says this is fact. So things that people express as opinion are not really opinion, they're not really fact, they're opinion. And those people that control the platforms need to be really careful about who it is and how it is that they give credibility to people that are expressing their own opinions. And I will say that, for the record, that a balance of two extremes does not represent the middle ground. This is what people think is broken. We've got a balance. It's not a balance. It's not the middle ground. There is a different view to come forward. And I wonder just who is going to hold these self-appointed experts or opinion formers or opinion offers to account, because it does not seem to me to be the mainstream correspondence. So there is a role for social media to be able to go and challenge people that put themselves forward as experts but are not elected and say, is that opinion or is that fact? So there's a role for you. Of course, the problem for social media, if you were going to take it on, is that it's a bit flaky. It's a bit of a bubble. It's a bit fun. It's like, yeah, let's go out and say things. We'll have a go here, we'll have a go there. Actually, if you're going to really change things, I think that you need to be a little bit more serious about the way that you put things forward. Now, of course, I do know that there are people in this room who approach that, but social media will really come of age when it stops being a game and starts being serious. I'll even say, I was waiting, I was hoping that Nick was going to turn up here, but I'll say it for him, and no doubt it'll be
here.
Well, he'll certainly be here when I tell him this, because I'm going to say that even though I'm here at the behest of Sligo O'Toole, I was talking to some of the guys earlier that I used to contribute to Sligo O'Toole, even in my real name, but Sligo O'Toole has lost its va-va-voom as well. It's become the home of party hacks and trolls and some innocents that fall into there by mistake, and so it's not that it doesn't have some influence, it is red, but it doesn't have the clout that perhaps it ought to have. Now, that's challenging words, I'm sure I'll be stated for it, and certainly Mick will not buy me a drink now, but these are things that we need to look at, which is how can we get some sort of engine out there that actually has a proper debate? Because the real issue about social media is that we do have a chance to build a new democracy. The current democracy is failing. People are disillusioned and fed up with all politicians and all politics, and so they just do the same old thing in the same old way. So who's going to change it? Well, I have to tell you, Turkeys don't vote for Christmas. So the ruling parties, the ruling powers are not going to change it. Public opinion is going to have to change it. Who might lead public opinion? Social media might lead public opinion. But you've got to get gravitas so that people will believe you and will follow you. And on this particular issue, I suppose, I just want to finish on this particular point. It's an opportunity for you. There is a need, I think, for you to find a campaign, a collective campaign, that you can all weigh in behind and go and make change. Because if you get a success on this, then you will genuinely change the democratic process in Northern Ireland and you will get a lot more wins. And so my suggestion is this. I only put up, I'm sure there's loads of them, but this is the one that gets me. Is that there's a fairly general consensus that MLAs are not really delivering much to society, that there's certainly too many of them, and that we would be better off with some other system. And yet, despite everybody agreeing this, nobody seems to come up with a way of changing it. Well, one of the things that I will say to you is that I do think that you could do with reducing the number of MLAs. But if you simply reduce them from 6 to 5 per constituency, the way that the DUP are suggesting, all that that does is drive out the independents or the more moderate people. So I'm not sure that that's necessarily what we want. The reason why we had 108 in the first instance was because we wanted to get everybody to have some representation in the Assembly. So here's an idea. What about we say, let's drastically reduce the number of MLAs, but let's make the constituencies bigger. If necessary, select 7 or 8 MLAs from a bigger constituency. I mean, and I know this is getting a wee bit radical, but maybe we could even move the constituencies to be the same as the super council constituencies. Call me misguided, if you will, but it does seem to me there is some sort of premise on there that you could argue, instead of saying, down with MLAs, let's have less MLAs, let's say, yeah, let's have less MLAs, but let's have them from a wider constituency, because a number of things will happen if you have a bigger constituency. First of all, it would be more difficult to vote manage. Now, I don't know if you understand the instance of vote managing, but I'll tell you this. When I last got elected, we got 7,500 votes for the UUP. The DUP, the last two in, got 8,000 votes. So they got two MLAs for 8,000 votes, and the UUP got one MLA for 7,500. And all of this machination is what gives them their dominance, that they actually do vote management. So I would like you to go out and say, we are going to educate, inform, and change the democratic process. You cannot rely upon the democratic parties to do this, because, as I said before, turkeys do not vote for Christmas. If you have bigger constituencies, not only will you make it less easy to vote manage, not only will you make it less likely that just being a good constituency rep gets you elected, you have to do some politics as well. And heavens above, you might even get it that politicians have to reach out beyond their tribal trenches to win votes from a wider population. Now, if you could do that, you could really change things. And I do think somebody has to take the lead on this. Now, if I just conclude by saying to you, that is a battle that I think that you could win. And here is the reason why I think you should do it. Politics in Northern Ireland, as in so many other places, is failing. It's failing badly, and it's going to get worse. If we don't do something, we're going to end up in a really bad place. And the trouble is, the old counterbalance that used to be the fourth estate, if you like, in terms of the traditional media, is under pressure because of falling readership, falling advertising revenues, all sorts of other pressures on them to try and sensationalise, and they lose the cachet of independence, of being able to come along and say, I'm going to tell you the way it is. So I actually think that that is what social media will do. It needs to build brands that people trust, but it needs to be accurate, it needs to be fair, it needs to be incisive, it needs to tell people the way it is. And one more thing, if you're doing all of that, be careful of the defamation laws. Thank you.